It's harder to see us if we're under the canopy, Han replied.
You know that's where the trees are, though, right?
Leia asked. The Bothan gave a small whimper.
It worked out, Han said. A simple thank you will be fine.
Scarlet pulled a small black med pack from storage and hung it on her belt. The light from the upper turret slanted through past her as she looked over at Han.
Who's coming?
She said.
I'll not be staying behind now, Bossen said. And where I go, Sunim comes with. Watch my back.
And here I thought we were friends,
Han said.
We are,
Bossen said, grinning. He still looked a little greener than usual. Chewbacca grunted and howled from the cockpit.
No,
Han said.
You're staying here.
An instant later, a wall of angry Wookiee boiled up from the front of the ship, waving a welding torch and baring his fangs. Han set his feet on the tilted deck and looked up at Chewbacca's outraged eyes.
It's not going to do any of us any good to get this whatever it is if there's no ship when we get back. I don't want to come up and find there's a company of stormtroopers or corrosive ants or something infesting the place.
Chewbacca crossed his arms, his eyes narrowing stubbornly.
It's a swamp out there,
Han said.
You know how your fur gets when there's mud.
Chewbacca's scowl softened a bit.
There'll be snakes,
Han said, his voice almost gentle. Chewbacca was silent for a long moment, then turned and stalked back to the cockpit. The flare of the welding torch resumed.
All right, then,
Han said.
Chewie'll be here to keep you company, your worshipfulness. Scarlet and Bossen and Sunim and I will...
Scarlet and Leia chuckled at the same time. Han's brow furrowed, and he held out his hands in a gesture of confusion.
I believe Princess Leia had her heart a bit set on coming with,
Bossen said as he checked his blaster. Sunim sighed and began unbuckling himself. Han turned toward Leia, ready to fight. Her dark eyes were on him, cold and implacable.
Fine, he said. Fine! If you really want to go out into the middle of enemy territory and get killed, who am I to stop you?
Why, Captain,
Leia said, her voice sweet and unassuming and utterly false.
Did you think I only risked other people's lives?
Right, Han thought, feeling slightly chagrined. A sudden flare of light filled the air. For a moment, he thought Chewbacca's welding torch had malfunctioned, but the brightness came from the turret, from the sky. Han scrambled into the cockpit, crawling over the console to look up. Through the break in the canopy, a swath of bright blue sky was scarred by black smoke and flaring green energy blasts. As he watched, the sky sparkled again, and another handful of bright flares streaked across the blue. The radio squawked.
This is Red Wave 1. This is Red Wave 1. Everyone all right?
Han picked up the headset.
What's going on up there?
Mission successful,
Wedge replied.
We got it,
Luke added.
Got it?
The Star Destroyer! We got it!
A deep rumbling shook the air, louder than thunder. All around, the jungle canopy shuddered and trembled. A massive, brightly plumed beast rose up from among the gigantic roots and fled into the twilight of the jungle, shrieking.
Han said. Good job.
It's not over. There's still a lot of fighters up here. We're going to have to pull back.
I don't think anyone can fault you, kid. We'll let you know what we find.
All right, Han. Good hunting.
He put down the headset. Chewbacca chuffed.
He got it,
Han said. The Wookiee stood still for a moment, then went back to welding. Really? What else was there to say? The others were gathered by the crew ramp. Bossen and Sunim had their blasters in their hands. Scarlet had a handheld mapping device and a long black composite blade. Leia was adjusting the seal on thigh-high black boots scavenged from a repair suit. From its clamps, the R3 whirred and whistled. Han nodded to it like he had any idea what it was saying.
All right, he said, lowering the ramp. Let's go.
Chapter 26. The Boffin stumbled over a thick root and crashed into the trunk of a massive tree. He pushed away from it, shouting curses in three languages. A long, slimy vine came away with him, wrapped around his face and neck. He continued to curse and claw at it for several seconds before Scarlet pulled the knife from her belt and cut the creeper away in two small strokes.
Lovely planet,
Boston said, waving his hand in front of his face to keep the clouds of tiny biting insects from flying into his mouth when he spoke.
You could have stayed on the ship, Han said.
You've trusted me on your precious falcon?
I'd have trusted Chewie.
Leia had wrapped her face in a gauzy white scarf to keep the bugs away, but she was fighting to keep her tall black boots from sticking in the thick, muddy jungle floor. Han walked at the rear of the group, one hand on his blaster, waiting for something larger and hungrier than the blood-sucking insects to make an appearance. All around them, the air was full of the whine of tiny wings and the calls of unseen animals. Everything stank of rot. Once the Bothan was freed, Scarlet shifted back to the front of the group and took point again. She moved through the thick undergrowth, finding the most solid footing available and avoiding the tangles of vine and moss that hung from the branches above. Occasionally, she opened up a hologram of the terrain on her datapad and checked their location. She looked like she knew what she was doing, so Han trusted that they were heading on the right path to find the temple. If not, he'd never know. The jungle looked exactly the same in every direction, and the heavy canopy completely blocked off the sky, making his usual tools for orienting useless.
Watch out, Scarlet said, pointing off to her left and moving right. Deep mud here.
Leia pulled her boot out of another mud hole with a wet sucking noise.
And that makes it different how?
Instead of answering, Scarlet shouted in alarm and danced away from the large puddle, yanking out her blaster as she moved. Behind her, the Bothan yelled and backpedaled into Bossin, nearly knocking him down. By the time Han reached the front, Scarlet was pointing her weapon at a large creature in the middle of the puddle. Its wide mouth was large enough to swallow a Wookiee whole, and a cluster of eyes the size of Han's fist sat on top of its broad head. Its brownish-gray skin was almost exactly the same color as the mud around it, and when it croaked at them, its mouth was filled with big, flat teeth.
"Don't shoot it!"
Han yelled as he ran up to it. Scarlet frowned and cocked her head.
It almost ate me.
It wasn't going to eat you. Look at it. All the eyes on top of its head and camouflage skin. It spends most of its time hiding under the mud. And those teeth are for grinding plants, not animals. Don't shoot it for being ugly.
Sure,
Scarlet said, holstering her blaster.
Didn't realize you guys were friends.
Han leaned over and patted the monster's snout.
It's just curious. Never seen a human before, I bet.
What about Bothans?
Sunim said, clearly not entirely convinced by Han's explanation. Han ignored him.
Watch out for us, he told the monster. We're not very nice.
As if in response, the creature slid back under the mud, almost without a sound. Scarlet rolled her eyes at Han and started off again, Sunim close behind.
Didn't know you were such an animal lover,
Leia said when she caught up to him.
If everyone got to kill anything that looked big and scary, Chewie would never be able to leave the ship.
Leia laughed and hooked her arm through his, using his support to keep her feet out of the worst of the mud.
Funny, I always took you as a shoot-first sort of fellow.
Oh, Han said. Trust me. I am if you're waving a blaster in my face. Not for the crime of being slimy and having too many eyes.
See?
She said.
There, you keep doing that. surprising me.
I'm a complicated man. Many layers to me.
Leia jumped over a large tangle of roots, using Han's arm to keep from sliding when she landed on the muddy jungle floor on the other side. A cloud of the little biting insects burst out of tiny holes in the ground when her foot hit, and for a few moments, neither of them spoke. Leia clutched her scarf around her head, and Han waved his hand to drive off the insects. After a while, the bugs seemed to get tired of annoying them and left.
You know what I find?
Leia asked.
About?
Han responded.
Things with layers. When you peel off a layer, you usually find another smaller layer of the same stuff underneath.
Han laughed, despite himself.
You asking to look?
She swatted him, but he could see her smiling under the veil. If it weren't for the mud, creepers, stinging bugs, and nearby presence of a hyperspace-disrupting alien technology already at least half under the control of the Empire, it might have been a very pleasant walk. Something the size of Han's hands flapped out of the jungle canopy and landed on the Bothan's shoulder. It had large, diaphanous wings and dozens of bright colors. They seemed to sparkle and radiate even with only the faint light the jungle let in. The body was thin and multi-legged and graceful, with a small wedge-shaped head and large black eyes. A long tail curled behind it, quivering gently. Han froze.
Sunim?
He said loudly, though trying to keep his tone conversational so no one panicked.
Do not move.
Scarlet stopped and turned around, her face lighting up when she saw the fragile-looking creature.
Oh, would you look at that?
Kill it! Kill it now!
Han repeated, still keeping his voice level and light. Scarlet frowned at him, but to her credit, she started to slowly pull the knife off her belt.
Are you sure? It doesn't seem...
While she was speaking, Sunim reached up and touched one of the delicate wings.
Pretty,
was all he had time to say before the long, curling tail snapped out and struck him in the throat. Scarlet yanked out her knife, but Han already had his blaster in his hand and in one shot blew the creature off the Bothan's shoulder in a shower of flaming bug parts. Sunim stood rigid, the color of his skin darkening all around the angry red wound the stinger had left. He opened his mouth as if to speak, but only a stuttering gasp came out, followed by a spray of foamy saliva. Scarlet and Bothan rushed to him, helping to lay him gently to the ground. The Bothan continued to choke out an increasing spray of white foam, his body stiff and trembling. Scarlet pulled the medpack off her waist, but by the time she'd opened it, the Bothan's struggle was over. Sunim lay stiff, staring up at the sky through sightless eyes.
Sorry, my boy,
Bothan said, his hand under Sunim's head, the stump of his other arm on the dead man's chest. Scarlet slowly put her medical supplies away, shaking her head.
Great. The things that look like monsters aren't, but one of the most beautiful creatures I've ever seen can kill in seconds with one sting. What kind of world is this?
When something hangs out in an environment as dangerous as this, in bright, eye-catching colors, it's because it's the meanest thing in the jungle. The brightest is a warning, not an invitation, Han told her.
Leia put a hand on Bossen's shoulder.
I'm sorry about your friend.
Well, thanks, see,
Bossen said, standing up and brushing the mud from the knees of his pants.
Not that the cheap little bastard was a friend, but I appreciate the courtesy.
Maybe I should walk up front,
Han said. He took the lead with Scarlet when they started moving again. The poor Bothan's rotted cabbage smell didn't seem offensive anymore, only sort of sad. The last of the scent quickly faded behind them, replaced by the jungle's sour dirt stink.
What makes you such an expert on alien life?
Scarlet asked after a few minutes.
I've been all over the galaxy. Seen a lot of stuff,
Han said, panting with exertion.
Plus, I have common sense.
The ground level had started to angle up, and the steep climb only made walking in the mud that much harder.
A lot of deadly butterflies?
Scarlet asked, half teasing. Han was gratified to hear she was puffing, too.
There's a million variations of the same things. They're the things you see over and over,
Han said.
The eyes go near the mouth. Dangerous things get warning colors. We've all got eyes and legs, because eyes and legs are useful things to have, no matter where you come from.
Fascinating.
You asked, sweetheart.
After a few more minutes of climbing, they reached the top of a rocky hill. The trees thinned out, and they could see sky again. There were still brightly colored streamers of energy spreading across the blue, and columns of smoke showed where pieces of the Star Destroyer had fallen through the atmosphere. Off in the distance, in the direction they'd been traveling, a massive construction of cut stone poked up through the jungle canopy.
Looks like you've got us heading the right way,
Han said, pointing out the massive temple to Scarlet.
Good work,
Leia said, coming up to stand beside them.
I'd hate to get lost in this.
You and me both,
Han replied.
About an hour, you think?
Bossen asked, pulling out his data pad and trying to bounce a rangefinder off the top of the temple.
Sure,
Scarlet said with a shrug.
If we don't fall in a sinkhole, or get eaten by bog monsters, or stung to death by bugs, or run into some new horror we haven't seen yet. I believe someone mentioned snakes earlier.
Bossen laughed and put a companionable arm around Scarlet's shoulder.
I like you, girl. You've got spunk.
Scarlet laughed back.
I don't like you. You're about to lose another hand.
Bossen kept his smile, but he removed his arm from her shoulder. Half an hour later, they finally found a snake. A massive creature, twice as big around as Han's waist, with bright scales like burnished copper and brass. It lay motionless across their path like a fallen log. The head and tail so far away, they weren't visible in the dim light and underbrush.
Do we shoot it?
Bossen wondered aloud.
It's not moving,
Han said.
It seems perfectly happy. Look.
He jumped over the thick body of the snake.
Just leave it alone.
Scarlet hopped over the thick, scaly body, then held out her hand to Leia. The princess was shorter than the rest of them, and leaping over the snake wasn't as easy for her. But with Scarlet's help, she made it. Bossen backed up, gave Han a skeptical look, and then ran at the snake. When he pushed off to leap, his legs shot out from under him in the wet mud, and he slammed into the snake's side at full speed, bouncing across its back and into the mud on the other side. While Bossen was sputtering and cursing and trying to get the mud off his face and clothes, Han held his breath, waiting for the giant snake to react. The reaction, when it came, was just a ripple of muscle under the scales, and then the snake shot away into the underbrush with surprising speed.
I think you scared it,
Han said. Bossen was still brushing mud out of his hair.
If I'd have known that was all it took, I'd have kicked the blasted thing in the ribs and saved myself some embarrassment.
Maybe we should leave before it realizes its mistake,
Scarlet said, already moving off down the path at a jog. Finally, they reached the edge of a clearing, and peering past the thick, fern-like undergrowth, spotted the massive stone slabs of the temple just a few hundred meters away. A large opening yawned in the side of the structure, twice the height of a human man and four times as wide. It looked big enough to drive a pair of land speeders into side by side. Not even a door blocked the entrance. But between them and that opening, Han counted at least 100 stormtroopers, several vehicle-mounted rapid-fire anti-aircraft cannons, and 5 AT-ST scout transport walkers.
Huh,
Scarlet said.
Yeah. I really didn't have a plan for this,
Han replied.
We should have had a plan for this.
When did we start planning?
Leia asked.
Haven't we been making this up as we go?
Think they're afraid of snakes?
Bosson said.
Maybe we can send that big fellow into the camp. Create a disturbance.
Well, Hans said with a sigh, we've gone from no plan to stupid plan. That's progress of a sort.
Red Wave,
Leia said. She was talking into her comlink.
Red Wave, are you out there? This is Pointer.
Red Wave 2 here,
Luke said.
Everything okay?
No, Red Wave. We're going to need a favor.
Tell me what we can do to help.
Chapter 27. Half a dozen X-Wing fighters screamed out of the sky, laser cannons blazing. Han and Leia crouched behind the largest rock they could find, watching the carnage unfold. Bosson and Scarlet were several meters away, taking cover behind a rotted log as big around as Chewbacca was tall.
First the Star Destroyer, now this? Farm Boy went and got himself useful,
Han said.
When did that happen?
There's more to him than you give him credit for,
Leia replied. But most of her words were drowned out by a series of explosions. The X-Wings cut across the Stormtrooper encampment at high speed. The strafing run's goal was maximum confusion, not accuracy. Even so, when the X-Wings peeled off and streaked back up into the sky, one AT-ST and two of the anti-aircraft cannons were flaming ruins. The haze of smoke mixed with the mist from the swamp. The Stormtroopers had scattered, some running into the temple, more running into the jungle. A few brave souls held their ground, firing their blaster rifles into the sky. It made a pretty light show, but there was little chance the handheld weapons could pierce a T-65's robust shields.
Give it another pass,
Han whispered in Leia's ear.
Then we go.
He waved at Scarlet to get her attention, and when she nodded back, he mimed running with his fingers and pointed at himself. She nodded again and got into a crouch, ready to go, braced like a sprinter waiting for the starting gun. The high, throaty roar of X-Wing engines returned, followed by another barrage of fire. This time, the X-Wings had split up, each strafing one of the high-value targets. All of the remaining walkers and vehicle-mounted weapons exploded as the X-Wings rocketed past, the ground around them detonating with high-energy laser shots that hurled mud and steam into the air. The remaining Stormtroopers dived for cover as the ground heaved under the onslaught. Black smoke poured out of the destroyed equipment, clouding the field.
Now!
Han shouted, and broke from cover at a dead run. Leia ran beside him, head down, legs pumping, blaster in hand. Han risked a glance behind and saw Scarlet and Bosson a few steps back. If anyone had noticed them and the confusion and carnage the X-Wing attack had brought, they kept it to themselves. No new shouts or alarms rang out, and in seconds, all four of them had reached the dark opening into the temple. Four Stormtroopers were huddled just inside the entrance, looking up at the sky, waiting for the deadly X-Wings to return. One of them glanced at Han, cocking his helmeted head to the side in confusion.
Hey, you can't...
Bosson shot him, then shot two more while they fumbled with their weapons. The fourth got his blaster out and pointed it at Bosson's face. But Scarlet dropped low to the ground and kicked out, sweeping the trooper's legs out from under him. He fell on the stone floor with a loud crack and went still. Han poked Bosson in the chest.
Avoid shooting if you can. There could be a lot more of them in here.
In where, boyo?
Bosson asked. It was a good question. The antechamber they'd entered was a square space about the same size as the entrance. The walls were of the same cut stone as the exterior, though in the cool dark of the interior, a profusion of slimy molds and mushrooms grew from the rock. Some of it glowed with its own luminescence. A confusion of tunnels branched off from the entryway, heading in every direction. Except for the four cowering inside the doorway, there were no more troopers in sight.
You have a map of this?
Han asked.
Not yet.
While the rest of the group moved into a dark corner to hide, Scarlet reached into one of the many pouches on her belt and pulled out half a dozen metal balls the size of human eyeballs. She held them in the palm of her hand, and they uncurled into metallic insect shapes, with translucent wings and glowing red eyes. She tossed them into the air, and they raced off down the various passages.
"The rebels pay for all those nifty toys, do they?"
Bossen asked. Scarlet grunted noncommittally. Han was pretty sure Scarlet's tools had been paid for by the people she'd stolen them from, but he kept the opinion to himself. She pulled out her data pad and fidgeted with the controls, and soon a glowing holographic map of the interior of the temple began to fill in. The corridors appeared as yellow tubes of light, with larger rooms shifting to orange and occasional red dots scattered through them. Outside, the scream of X-Wing engines started to ramp up again. To Han's eye, it was an impossible maze. But with deft gestures, Scarlet rotated the map this way and that, nodding and talking to herself under her breath. She rushed into one of the smaller passages, gesturing impatiently for everyone to follow. They did, and moments later, a squad of stormtroopers stepped into the antechamber. Scarlet backed away down the hallway, watching them, then moved everyone into another branching passage, this one quite dark, so that the only light came from the glowing map. She fiddled with the controls, and the image dimmed until it was barely visible and cast no light on the walls.
"Looks like the alarm went out," Scarlet whispered. "There will be a lot of troopers in the central corridor."
She pointed at a thick yellow line on her map, filled with red dots. The dots were moving, and Han realized they must be marking the location of people that Scarlet's bugs had spotted.
"Do you know where we're going?"
he asked. She pointed at a large glowing orange central room, with a very small corridor coming off it and dead-ending.
"This, at a guess. Lots of bodies in here, the most in the structure, and that's the only dead end on the map. A door, I'm guessing. And this temple doesn't seem to have any other ways out."
Leia made a quiet noise of agreement, then whispered,
"But that's off the central corridor. Stormtroopers everywhere."
"All respect, miss. I see at least two other ways to get there, including this here corridor we're in,"
Bossen said, pointing at the map. As soon as he did, it was obvious. Han saw the path leading from where they were through a variety of twists and turns and ending up right next to the short dead-end corridor at the center of the temple.
"No troopers in this corridor at all," he pointed out.
"That worries me," Scarlet said.
Han's eyes had begun to adapt to the dark, and the faint glow of the mushrooms on the walls gave him a dim grayscale view of the hallway around him.
"Any reason we should be waiting here?"
Bossen asked. He was rocking on the balls of his feet, his grin so faint it might have just been Han's imagination.
"Stay behind me,"
Scarlet said, poking Bossen hard in the biceps.
"Aye, love."
Scarlet turned off her map and headed down the corridor. The stone beneath their feet felt wet and slimy, though at the creeping pace Scarlet set, it was easy to keep their footing. The air smelled of rot and decay, and a faint hint of something hot and metallic. After she'd gone a few dozen meters, Scarlet pulled a small light off her belt and turned it on, twisting the control until it gave off only the dimmest illumination. A few meters later, they reached a partial blockage of the corridor. A stone cube, a meter and a half on a side, blocked the hallway from wall to wall, leaving only a 1 meter gap above it.
"We can climb over,"
Scarlet started. But Han touched her arm and pointed at the ceiling above.
"Oh."
The block looked to have fallen out of a hole exactly its size.
"Temple falling apart, is it?"
Bossen asked.
"No,"
Leia said, pointing at the ground next to the block. A single foot poked out from under the stone, wearing a white stormtrooper's boot.
"It was a trap."
Scarlet turned up her light. The hall brightened. The hole above the stone had a complex mechanism for releasing the block onto the corridor below. A printed foil notice had been pasted to the wall. Warning, do not use this corridor. It has not been cleared.
I'd say,
Bossen said, poking the doomed stormtrooper's foot with his toe.
Now this fellow cleared the first trap for us, eh?
Han put a hand on the stone block. It didn't budge. It must have weighed thousands of kilograms. At least it would have been quick. But something itched at the back of his brain.
Can we go?
Scarlet asked, trying to get around him to climb on top of the stone cube.
This doesn't make any sense to me,
Han said, thinking through the puzzle as he spoke.
We came here to find this super high-tech thing that kills hyperspace. And it's at a temple made out of rock? The traps are deadfalls? Unless this hyperspace blocker is made of granite and powered by a water wheel, I don't think these people built it.
Have you seen a turning tree sling?
Bossen asked.
Don't look down on the damage a low-tech solution can achieve.
But hyperspace blocking?
The Kakai Bat died out millennia ago,
Scarlet said.
Another more primitive species may have followed them. And built all of this,
Leia added.
To honor the gods that vanished from their world. It's not uncommon to find this sort of layering of civilizations on older worlds.
I am not gonna like it,
Han said, then paused to boost Scarlet up onto the stone block.
If I get killed by a bunch of primitives.
Scarlet lay flat on the block and reached down to help pull Leia up. When Bossen moved forward, reaching for Leia's hindquarters, Han thumped him in the chest.
Hands off!
Bossen had the gall to look wounded.
Was just trying to give the lady a boost.
Leia clambered up the stone with ease.
The lady is fine, thanks. Let's move.
Having now seen the first of the ancient builder's deadly traps, Scarlet slowed her pace through the temple, keeping her light turned up. At several points, she had them avoid specific stones set into the floor.
Pressure plates?
Han had asked at the first.
Weird looking. And do we want to test?
She replied. Han didn't argue the point, just avoided anything Scarlet told him to avoid, and tried not to touch the slime and mushrooms on the walls. They reached a junction with two other corridors, and Scarlet signaled for them to stop, then pulled out her map.
Almost there,
she said, pointing at the room nearby. It was still filled with red dots.
We'll need a plan to get past those guards.
What have you got in mind?
Han asked.
My first thought was to send you and Bossen into the room, guns blazing, and then have Leia and me sneak past while the troopers loot your corpses.
You see, Han said, that's a terrible plan. This is why we don't use plans. We're really bad at them.
Well,
Scarlet said, putting her map away.
Let's keep moving. We can figure it out when...
Her foot came down on the large stone at the corridor's junction point, and it fell away as if it had never been there. A yawning pit gaped below it, opening into darkness. Scarlet paused for one eternal heartbeat, arms pinwheeling as she tried to keep her balance, one leg still on the ledge, while the other hung out over nothing. Then she fell forward. Han's arm snapped out with a gunfighter speed, the tips of two fingers just barely managing to catch a loose fold of her shirt. But it stopped her fall long enough that Bossen and Leia could dart forward and catch her arms. They pulled her back hard, and she fell on her rump with a grunt.
Thank you,
she gasped as she fought to catch her breath.
You want to watch your step in here, miss,
Bossen said.
Traps and whatnot.
Leia crouched by the spy's side.
Are you all right?
She pulled the canteen off her belt and handed it to Scarlet, who nodded and took a sip. When her breathing had slowed, the spy stood again and ran a hand through her dark hair.
So, let's not do that again,
she said. A few twists and turns later, they crouched in the darkness of the side passage, looking out into the large room beyond. At the far side of the room, what had appeared to be a short corridor on Scarlet's map actually turned out to be a steep ramp down. From their position, they couldn't see what lay at the bottom. A dozen or more Imperial troops were stationed in the room. About half wore the armor of stormtroopers, the rest were in technicians' uniforms. They were looking at the main corridor as though expecting an attack from that direction. They were all armed.
"Only about four each," Bossen whispered. "I've faced worse."
Before Han could object, Scarlet said,
"Let me give us some help."
Han pulled his blaster and noted that Leia had done the same. She smiled at him, though it was a sad smile. Han tried out a carefree grin and a wink. It felt false and ridiculous, but he tried not to let it show. Scarlet was doing something with her map. Han heard a faint buzzing, and one of her six bugs flew past his ear into the room. It joined with the other five already there, and each one landed on a different stormtrooper. A second later, they detonated, knocking the six troopers to the ground. The other six spun around, looking for the attackers. But with Han, Bossen, and Leia firing from cover, all six were down before they could fire a shot.
"That was loud," Han said. "So we should go fast now."
He jumped up and ran across the room, hoping the other three were following but not slowing to check. He ran down the ramp, nearly slipping on the slimy, wet stone, and flew face first into a massive metal door.
"Don't touch it!"
Leia snapped at him.
"Too late,"
Han replied, probing his nose gingerly with one finger. It didn't seem broken. The hatch was made of a gleaming alloy, almost seeming to glow with its own internal light. A complex-looking locking device was mounted in the center of the door, though it had been disassembled by the Imperial technicians. They'd hung a simple red button from it.
"Wait!"
Leia said, but Bossen was already reaching out. He pressed the button, and the shiny metal hatch slid open, revealing a corridor below, sinking down into the crust of the planet. Bossen bounced on his toes and looked back to Leia.
"Sorry, miss. You said something?"
Chapter 28. Past the glowing hatch, the corridors changed completely. It was like stepping from one world into another without traveling the space between them. After a steeply descending ramp, covered with thin, tooth-like silver projections that snagged their toes and seemed to shift as they moved, the passage opened to a tall but almost impossibly thin network of corridors. Han thought the walls seemed to shift whenever he wasn't looking directly at them. The geometry of the corridors was wrong in a way he couldn't quite understand. The floors seeming to tilt in opposite directions at once. He had the eerie and inexplicable sense that the air was tasting him. Han had seen the products of hundreds, maybe thousands of alien species. He understood that each one had quirks of body and mind that made their artifacts and architecture unique. Whatever the Kakaibak had been physically, their minds were unlike anything Han had ever encountered. The walls were built in curves of shining steel and deep blue alloy that seemed to shift as they passed. Sometimes strange, flickering lights and sounds came, and Han couldn't say if they were the warnings of some ancient computer system, or art, or an accident of stress and pressure. Everywhere the angles of the architecture seemed subtly off, the textures of the surfaces unpleasant, intimate, and threatening. Every few hundred meters, the Imperial survey team had left pale marks on the walls, and they crept along, following the path their enemy had established. Everything about the buried Kakaibak civilization was beautiful and disturbing, and left Han wanting to wash his hands. And apparently, the others were all thinking something very much the same.
"Creepy,"
Scarlet said, as they entered a great round room, perhaps half a kilometer wide, with long strands of chain-like metallic growths hanging from its ceiling. A clear, watery liquid dripped down the strands, leaving the wide floor slick and shining. A drop landed on Boston's shoulder with a splat. He wiped it off with mild, companionable disgust.
I can't say my sorrow these Kakaibak aren't still among us runs all that deep.
Speaking of which, Leia said, do we have any idea how far down this is supposed to go? It feels like we've been heading down forever.
This way,
Han said, gesturing with his blaster. At the far end of the dripping chamber, the path was marked by a backpack-sized box with a small red light at the top. Seeing something of recognizably human design in the unsettling place was a comfort, even if the make was Imperial. Tinny, compressed voices echoed down the chamber beyond. Stormtroopers. And they sounded frightened. At a bend in the hallway, Han held up an arm, stopping the others. He ducked his head around the corner.
And pulled back!
A solid sheet of blaster fire passed close enough that his cheek tingled with it. How many? Scarlet shouted over the sound of the blasts.
A dozen, maybe? Something like that?
Han answered.
They're in front of some kind of machine. I think they're guarding it.
The device?
How would I know? There were a bunch of stormtroopers shooting at me.
Scarlet's attention was already shifting to the walls and passages around them. Her narrowed eyes glittered with excitement and pleasure. Leia's gaze was fixed on the corner, ready to return fire if the enemy appeared. The barrage of energy bolts began to slow. A smoke haze filled the corridor with the smell of battle. Scarlet pulled out her datapad, but the holographic image on it was fuzzy and indistinct. She closed it again.
I think there's a way to get around their side, she called. Good. You two keep them occupied,
Leia said.
Scarlet, with me. Let's find that flank.
Han and Bossin lifted their blasters as the women headed back toward the dripping chamber. Bossin fired casually toward the bend in the corridor, and the barrage came again, louder than a landslide.
Those boys seem a mite anxious, Bossin said.
Wouldn't you be?
Oh, I am, old friend,
Bossin said, firing his blaster again.
I very much am.
The minutes stretched as Han and Bossin baited the Imperial forces. Han kept expecting them to charge, but the assault didn't come. Whatever they were guarding, they weren't being drawn away from it. Something loud happened around the corner, and a chorus of shouts and screams echoed down the chamber. Han and Bossin exchanged a glance, and then Han poked his head around the corner. 10 white-armored bodies lay on a wide grating in front of a vast black archway. Scarlet and Leia stood over them, blasters in their hands.
Good to see you ladies again,
Bossin said.
We were just about to go looking for you.
This isn't it,
Scarlet said. On the far side of the archway stood a wide chamber. Its side was open like a window, and a massive shaft, wide as the whole room and the archway besides, slanted down into the darkness. A stormtrooper lay beside a complicated panel in the wall, where a series of glowing switches showed patterns of red, green, yellow, and blue. Someone had taken a sheet of foil and etched the words, green, green, blue, red, down, red, blue, green, yellow, up. Don't touch anything else.
I take it we're at up, Leia said. One way to find out,
Scarlet answered.
Should we perhaps talk about this a bit first? Come to a meeting of the minds?
Bossin asked. But Scarlet was already flipping the top row of switches, the indicator light shifting under her fingertips. A deep boom came, like the shooting of a vast metal bolt, and the chamber lurched, sliding down into the slanted shaft. The black archway fell away quickly, leaving behind the bodies of the stormtroopers. They descended deep into the darkness. The chamber picked up speed as it went, the breeze growing stronger. A new smell came to the dark air. Something hot and sharp that reminded Han of a ship he'd been on as a boy when its engines failed and melted down. It wasn't comforting.
How long do you think this has all been here?
Leia asked, and Han was ready to make a guess when Scarlet answered.
Galassian's best guess was a few million years. It still works pretty well, all things considered,
Leia said. Five times they passed huge arching chambers, flying by so quickly that Han got nothing more than a fleeting impression of vast metal lattices filled with shadows and flashes of light. And then the shaft swallowed them again, sloping even farther down into the darkness. The air grew warmer and thick without being heavy. Bossen stood at the leading edge of the chamber, arms folded, looking into the depths. Han stepped up beside him. It was easy to imagine that they were standing still, the passage flowing past them.
A lot like being swallowed, ain't it? Bossen commented.
Now that you say it, Han said. How deep do you think we've gone?
15-20 kilometers, Bossen said. Not much if you fly in a ship.
A lot if you're climbing stairs.
There's the truth.
The floor beneath them shifted. Han grunted.
What is it?
Leia asked.
We've started breaking, Han said. Wherever we're going, we're almost there.
Far down the slanting shaft, a glimmer of light appeared, fainter than a star.
It grew slowly brighter, stronger.
The chamber slowed as it came nearer. Han crouched down, wishing there were more cover. If there were another dozen stormtroopers at the bottom of the shaft, the arrival could be uncomfortable. The others all had the same thought, and as the room slid slowly to a halt, they'd all taken what little cover there was. The chamber butted gently up to a black archway, the twin of the one at the top. The deep metallic booming came again as they stopped. Han stepped into the corridor beyond. The sound of tapping footsteps came down the hall. He readied his blaster. Bossen, Scarlet, and Leia all took positions along the wall. The echoes made it hard to tell who was coming, or how many. But the sound was sharp and percussive. Not the tramping of combat boots. Han hoped it wasn't combat boots. The protocol droid that came around the corner had a deep blue patina on his plating and a permanently surprised expression in his photoreceptors that seemed to suit the occasion. As soon as he saw the four of them, he paused. For a moment, no one spoke.
Oh!
The droid said, then turned and started to totter off. Han and Bossen were after him in a flash. Scarlet and Leia guarding the rear. At the end of a corridor, a bank of 3-meter-wide circles showed where the doors would iris open. The droid was hurrying toward the one farthest on the left. Han skidded in front of him, hands up, palms out. The gesture of goodwill spoiled only by the blaster still hanging from his index finger.
It's all right, Han said. We're not going to hurt you.
You're not, Bossen said.
Master Ezio will not have this. You must not disturb him. I will fight you to the death rather than let you through.
All respect, Bossen growled, stepping forward. You're a protocol droid.
The droid squeaked in alarm, and a thin, sparking wire shot from his chest and struck Bossen's arm. The bounty hunter convulsed once, staggering, then pulled the tiny dart out, a little knot of blood and skin still on it.
You see now,
Bossen said, all hint of gentleness gone from him.
You just made my point for me.
No, don't hurt me! Master Ezio, help! Help! The intruders have...
L3?
The droid spun, his head clicking side to side, searching for the source of the voice. Scarlet and Leia stepped forward, silhouetted by the light from beyond the dark arch.
Who's there? Who is it?
Forgot me already,
Scarlet said.
The artistic tutor? But you're dead!
Not dead, Scarlet said. And not an artistic tutor. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce L-3PO, protocol droid and research assistant to Ezio Galassian.
You! It was you all along!
Actually, it was the gardener, Scarlet said. Long story. Why don't you tell us what we want to know before my friend here reduces you to a thin, uniform layer of foil?
I will not betray the master!
Sure you will,
Bossen said, and took a step forward. The droid danced awkwardly back.
No, stop! Harming me will gain you nothing. The device has been activated. Master Ezio is in the process of decoding its control schema, but the calculating controller is very odd. He hasn't made a great deal of progress as yet, and the device hasn't been used in eons. It is not perfectly stable. I will not allow you to interrupt him. His work is too delicate and important.
Where is he, L3?
The droid looked back over his shoulder at the array of doors, his servo motors whining. His hand fluttered and clanked. Scarlet nodded.
L3, do you remember what I said at the garden party?
The droid turned to her again, his eyes glowing suddenly brighter in surprise or alarm.
This is that day.
Scarlet's blaster bolt took the droid in the neck, neatly cleaving the headpiece from the blued shoulders. The droid's body froze and tipped backward, clanking against the floor. The head dropped to the decking, the eyes dimming but not yet dark.
You were a terrible artist.
L-3PO said, and then turned off.
Garden party? Han said.
Long story,
Scarlet replied.
Let's go.
Han and Leia took position on one side of the leftmost door, while Bossen pressed himself against the other. It took Scarlet a moment to find the controls, but a second later the door shuttered, and the dozen blades slid apart. Beyond it, a grate of steel mesh stood out over a cavern too vast to comprehend. A hot wind swirled and pressed, stinking of overheated iron. A dark, cloaked man stood at what looked like a long glass table, his fingers shifting across its surface. Two spherical droids floated, one over each shoulder. Dull red lights tracking slowly along their smooth surfaces. Han stepped out. The grating below his feet seemed too fragile to support his weight, yet it didn't flex at all when he stood on it. Far below, a massive sphere glowed a dull and sullen red. Han's mind struggled to make sense of the scale he was looking at. The wind moving past him murmured like something enormous and old, talking very softly. They were 100 meters over the glowing orb. They were 1,000 meters over it. Something in his mind struggled, and his sense of scale reset. He saw the room as if he were flying the Falcon, and then it made sense. Still, it took his breath away.
A planet. It's hollow. That down there,
he said, pointing with his blaster.
I think that's the core.
I thought I gave orders to be left alone, the man at the desk shouted.
Do you have any idea of the energies involved in this? How delicate this work is? Your constant interruptions could destroy us all.
I know, Scarlet said. But that's not going to happen.
The man straightened and turned. Ezio Galassian was even younger than Han had expected. His face rugged and almost handsome. The shoulder-length hair that shifted in the wind was the same honey blonde that it had been in the R3's hologram. And his smile was bright and sharp as a blade's edge. His gaze flickered over them, spending the greatest time on Leia and Scarlet.
Princess Leia, I presume,
Galassian said.
And my former artistic tutor. I have to assume she was working for you.
Ezio Galassian,
Leia said.
Toady to the Emperor and professional grave robber.
Your service, Glassian said sourly.
We've come for the hyperspace nullifier,
Scarlet said.
Hand it over, and we might take you into custody.
Rather than kill me?
Rather than leave you to your disappointed patron,
Scarlet said, and Han saw the man flinch. The door irised closed behind them, and Bossen spun, blaster at the ready. The grate they stood on was one of a network that clung to the inner surface of the hollow world. Now that Han understood the scale, he could see platforms hanging from the stone roof that stretched all along the globe. Glassian leaned against the glass table and crossed his arms. The molten core of the planet spun below them like a sun, radiating heat and light, casting shadows up along the man's face. Glassian looked at Leia for a long time. The two droids shifted, rising and falling, curving up through the air above him and swooping down behind his back in a sideways figure eight. His shoulders began to shake, and a stream of rich laughter poured out. He spread his arms. You want it? Fine. Here it is. His gesture encompassed the table, the platforms, the core spinning below. Everything. The humor left his eyes, and he looked like a corpse. What do you plan to do with it? Leia and Scarlet looked at each other, the hot wind tugging at their hair. Bossen coughed and spat down through the grating and into the more than oceanic void beneath them.
I've gotta say, Han said, I'd been picturing something a little smaller.
Chapter 29. Scarlet stepped toward Glassian, her blaster pointed at his heart. Han moved forward too. The man ignored the threat and turned back to the glass table. The light from its display danced across his face.
Back away from the table. Do it now,
Leia said.
Or else what, exactly?
Glassian said.
At a guess, we kill you,
Bossen said from his place beside the door.
That's how these things tend to play out.
He might as well not have been there for all the attention Glassian paid.
You have interrupted me, threatened me. I imagine you must have killed some number of my escort.
That was rude, Princess. I don't think I care to speak with you further.
The spinning droids were going too fast for the eye to follow now, the curving path seeming like streaks of silver air behind him.
All right, Han said. What's the plan?
Plan was we get in here, Scarlet said. Kill him, take the hyperspace blocking device, and head back for the surface. Turns out there's a problem with the middle part.
Maybe we should make a new one.
Working on that.
Once again, Han said. Planning, not our strong suit.
We can hold him as hostage, Bossen said.
What will happen?
Glassian said, his voice calm, almost amused,
is that you will put down your arms, surrender yourselves to me, and hope that I'm feeling merciful.
You have blasters. I'm wielding the greatest weapon the galaxy has ever seen.
Bossen held up his blaster.
Our matched fours beat your high single, seems to me.
Scarlet shushed him.
Bigger guns,
Glassian went on, returning his gaze to the glass table.
Stronger blasters. Blowing up planets. It's all well and good. Controlling who can speak now. Who can travel. That's power. The only use of violence is to convince people to do what you demand. If you have the power to simply enforce your will, why bother with wars? Rebellions! The Emperor will disband the fleet. There will be no need for it. Your kind is dead, and I am at the trigger.
Han shifted to the right, The grating under his feet rang a little with each footstep.
Galassian glanced up at him, sneered, and looked away. The wind tugged at his robes.
You know what the Emperor will do with this, Leia said. It won't be your power, it'll be his.
My ambitions are small. Go wherever I wish. Do whatever I wish. Have worlds bow down before me,
Galassian said. I'll do quite well on his table scraps. But thank you for thinking of me.
Enough of this,
Bossen said, raising his blaster, and for once Han agreed. His finger twitched, but as the shot went off, Galassian gestured at him. One of the floating droids whipped out like an extension of his hand and knocked Han back. The bolt from his blaster passed over Galassian's shoulder, and Han struggled to keep his feet. Bossen, struck by the second droid, fell against the steel grating with a crash and a rush of breathless swearing. The droid swung down again, catching him hard in the ribs. Bossen rose to his knees, grabbed his side, and sank back to the floor. His face was flushed with pain and anger.
Surrender now, Leia said, and I'll see to it you aren't abused.
Princess, take your servants, lay down your weapons, and stop wasting my time. I have many, many things to do that are all more interesting than you.
Leia shifted to the left, spreading out the group. It would be harder for Galassian's droids to block them all if they weren't so close together. Han followed her lead, moving a little more to the right.
Don't flatter yourself,
Leia said.
The Star Destroyer that brought you here is already vapor and meteors. A rebel attack group is preparing to jump into the system, and you're outnumbered 4-1.
3-1, Galassian said.
And before any of them could respond, he lifted both hands toward her, shouting.
Leia shrieked as the paired droid swooped down, struck her in the belly and chest, lifted her from her feet, and threw her to the edge of the grate. And over it.
Han's chest went hollow, and he rushed toward Galassian, blaster firing as Scarlet lunged for Leia. Galassian turned on Han, the man's face twisted in a mask of inhuman rage. Han shot him. Galassian stepped back as the bolt struck his chest.
The surprise in his expression spoke of affront. You presume to hurt me?
He's wearing armor,
Han shouted.
So shoot his head, boyo!
Boss shouted. Leia was screaming. Han glanced past Galassian to the edge of the platform. Scarlet lay flat, her chest and arms out over the void, her legs just beginning to tip up and over. From where Han stood, Leia was a flutter of motion and a sense of determined struggle. A streak of silver went past him, and Han shot. Years of practice and reflex paid off, and one of the droids fell out of the air, clanging on the decking and rolling toward the edge of the platform. Han dodged the second one. It seemed to have sprouted knives. Behind him, Bossen yelped. Galassian's hand closed over Han's like a vice. The bones in Han's wrist popped, and a bright pain shot through his fingers as Galassian twisted the blaster away, holding it loosely in his left hand. The universe seemed to narrow to just the two of them, as Han wondered what it would be like to be killed with his own weapon. He swung his other fist, and Galassian blocked it. Hitting the man's arm was like punching concrete. But Han did it again. Galassian struck back, hitting Han's face. His nose stung, and the taste of blood filled his mouth. The world seemed to ring like a gong. Scarlet shifted. Only one hand was down to Leia. The other scrabbled desperately at her belt, looking for some tool. Galassian followed Han's glance, smiled, and shot Scarlet in the leg with Han's blaster. The spy yelped in pain, but she didn't drop the princess or stop what she was doing. Han swung his elbow against Galassian's ear, and this time the strike had some effect. Galassian took two steps back and turned the blaster toward Han. A bright bolt from Bossen burned the air. The old Mirialan was on his knees now, resting his firing hand on his stump. Galassian gestured toward him, and the remaining droid swept in toward Bossin's face, driving him against the wall and then looping around for another attack. The distraction was enough. Han grabbed his blaster, still in Galassian's grip, and twisted. Galassian bent his knees and turned. The enemy was solid, strong, and implacable. Centimeter by centimeter, the blaster's barrel moved toward Han. Galassian pulled the trigger, and the blast singed Han's ear and filled the air with the stink of burning hair. Behind them, something popped, and a thin line of cord, bright as a spider web in the gloom, shot up from where Scarlet and Leia struggled. Scarlet's grapnel line. Leia cried out. Han put all his strength into moving the blaster away, but it continued to turn toward him. Galassian's grin was bloody. His teeth turned crimson. His eyes widened with the prospect of Han's death. Bossin plowed into them both, slamming his full weight against them. Han sprawled out on the grate, disoriented and half convinced he'd been shot. Galassian kept his feet, but Bossin was before him, hammering at his throat with his one good fist. Behind him, Leia had her hands back on the decking and was pulling up her knee. The thin cord of Scarlet's grapnel was wrapped around her. Scarlet rolled to her side, blaster up, waiting for a chance to end Galassian. But Bossin was blocking her shot. Galassian fell back, a step under the rage and violence of Bossin's attack. There was blood pouring from half a dozen cuts on the man's face and from Bossin's knuckles. When the blaster shots went off, three in close succession, Han thought at first it was Scarlet. Then, Bossin slipped down, smoke rising from his chest and a surprised expression on his face. He grabbed at the edge of Galassian's robes with his one hand, the stump of the other brushing against it as the missing fingers tried to find some purchase.
Han!
Leia cried. He looked at her as Scarlet fired. Galassian waved his hand, and the women scattered as the remaining droid dove in for them. Han put his head down and ran, charging Galassian with a roar. The impact felt like tackling a wall. But Bossin had hold of Galassian's ankle, and when the man staggered, kept his grip. Like a tree cut at the base, Galassian tipped back. Han saw annoyance turn to surprise, and then disbelief. A volley of blaster fire and a metallic shriek marked the death of the second droid, but Han didn't turn to look. Bossin let go of Galassian's ankle as the madman disappeared over the edge of the platform with a scream. And then another one. And then another. Each growing more distant as Galassian began the long fall to the planet's glowing core, thousands of kilometers below them. Han knelt at Bossin's side. The wounds in the old bounty hunter's chest were deep. The stink of cauterized flesh was bright and greasy. Bossin's yellow-green face was pale, and his breathing shallow. He blinked up at Han, and Han was surprised by the thickness in his own throat.
"Hold on, old man," he said. "We're gonna have to get you patched up."
"Han, old friend," Bossin said. "You always were a third-rate liar."
"What are you talking about? I lie with the best of them."
"Not that time."
Scarlet came forward, limping. The medpack in her hand looked profoundly insufficient. Han could see from her eyes that she was thinking the same thing.
"We got him, though," he said. "Just like old times."
Bossin bared his teeth in a kind of smile, turning to look through the grate over his shoulder.
"I suspect he'll outlive me for all of it. And he's a powerfully long fall,"
he said, then gasped.
"Truth is, if I thought for part of a second, I wouldn't have done that."
"The man you used to be is still down in there somewhere."
Scarlet pulled back the ruins of Bossin's shirt and doused the wounds with numbing spray. Bossin sighed and swallowed.
if that's right. And there's a world past this one. Me and that man I was are going to have words in it. Powerful, stupid he was.
Leia came to stand by them.
The glow of the planetary core streamed up past Bossen, casting him in shadows and brightening her face as she looked down. Her expression was calm, gentle, and strong. Bossen coughed again, and it was a deep, wrong sound.
You know, Han, old friend, if I'd had both my hands, I think I'd have taken him,
he said with a grin.
So there's a way. This is all your fault.
Same to you,
Han said. But he said it to a corpse. He plucked Bossen's blaster up from the steel grating and put it in his own holster. The three of them stood over the Mirialin, silent for a long moment. Memories flooded Han of the times he'd known Bossen before.
Turned out he was a good man,
Scarlet said.
No, he wasn't,
Han said.
A friend, then?
Leia said.
Not for a long time.
At last they turned away, walking back to the lighted table that Galassian had been standing over. The bright surface was alive with strange letters and shifting designs. The script was like nothing Han had ever seen. And while some of the images, a circle more than halfway colored in red, a series of bars with triangles at different points along them, had the vaguely familiar functional look of technical readouts, what they meant was opaque.
Does any of this make sense to you?
Leia asked, scowling at the readouts as if simple force of will could make them make sense. Han was still shaking a little from the fight, and he tried not to show it.
Maybe a little, Scarlet said. Let me look at it.
I was afraid you were in trouble for a second, Your Highnessness,
Han said. But the barbs sounded hollow and unconvincing. Leia looked up at him, and the softness in her face told him that she'd heard the relief in his voice. He might just as well have said, I thought I'd lost you.
No such luck,
she said softly. He was surprised by the power of his urge to sweep her into his arms and kiss her. For a moment, there was something else in her expression. Apprehension, or hope, or something of both. She blinked and looked away.
Do you think he's still falling? If they evacuated the mantle down to the actual planetary core, he'll be falling for about the next 5 hours,
Scarlet said, not looking up from the table.
The heat will probably sear his lungs and light him on fire before he makes impact, though.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy,
Han said.
So can you work this thing?
No,
Scarlet said.
I thought you had the instructions.
Galassian wrote the instructions, and he couldn't work it all either. Not completely, anyway. Let me see what I can manage.
Han nodded, stepped away from the table, and tried to calm Chewbacca and the Falcon to get some better idea of what was happening on the other side of the planet's crust. He had the irrational certainty that the full Imperial fleet had jumped into the system just after they'd gotten down to the bottom of the Kakaibak ruins, and they'd be going up to a massive ongoing firefight. There was no signal. He hadn't really expected one. Bossen Ray's body lay still and silent, his eyes closed, and his face the calm that seemed to come over all people in death.